Thanks for joining us for this weekly podcast from Dan David, that's me,
and Patty David,
co-pastors of Zephyr Hills Wesleyan Church in sunny Zephyr Hills, Florida.
We hope this message will help you as you seek to be more like Jesus Christ, to be truly holy, even today. You can learn more about our church's ministry by visiting www.zhillswesleyan.org.
Let me invite you to find in your bulletin a note-taking guide as we continue a series this morning on the graces of a Christian. It's a study on the book of 2 Corinthians, and we have been talking about the graces of a Christian. Now, you all understand what social graces are, how our behavior touches the lives of other people. When you're at dining with them, you open the door for someone. But Christian graces is more than just behavior. We're not simply trying to learn how to behave. Christian grace is our Christ-like character touching the life of other people. It's not just conduct, it's character. And so in week number one, we talked about the Christian grace of compassion, that we comfort people, that we forgive people, and that we win them to the Lord through our witness. In week number two, we talked about the Christian grace of hope, that of above all people, we have a hope. In other words, that we are bright and optimistic people because of our hope in Jesus Christ. We learned four things. We don't lose heart. In other words, we are cheerful and positive. We focus on the eternal, not the temporal. We always have confidence because our trust is in God. And we live not to please people, but to please Him. We have a hope. And so today we want to talk about the grace of endurance. The grace of endurance. So if you have your Bibles and a pencil and an outline, let's learn together how this grace affects other people.
Now, we told you right from the outset that as we look through 2 Corinthians, this is probably the most personal of all Paul's letters. He shares more about his own life and about himself than he does in any other book in the New Testament. And most of us, if we've been to Sunday school at any time in our lives, or if we've been to church for any amount of time, we have in our minds a picture of the Apostle Paul and his ministry. I mean, something immediately comes to mind of what it was like to be the great Apostle Paul. I mean, we read all these books that he's written, and they've surely been encouragement to us. And we think about him having this wonderful, fruitful ministry of going throughout the known world at that time and planting churches and impacting the entire world for Jesus Christ. But, you know, it really wasn't as easy or as glamorous as what we sometimes make it. It was a difficult, difficult ministry that Paul had. And, you know, by today's standards, Paul probably would not be considered successful. I've had a lot of time in the last month to watch television. And it's not like I've been flat on my back, for those of you who don't know. And I'm just, you know, clicking through the channels. And I like to watch the Christian TV every now and then, even though it sometimes irritates me. And I've been watching a variety of different teachers talk about how successful they are. And the one man that I particularly like, he's on at late at night on Saturday nights, and he likes to talk about the proof of God's blessing on his life. And he talks about the Rolls Royce that God gave him, and this, you know, goes through all his list of vehicles and the homes that he's given him in all these different places. And these people have, some of them have these huge conglomeration of ministries. I mean, they're on television, they're well known, people acclaim them, they write books and people buy their books, and they're living these very affluent kinds of lifestyles and holding them up to say that they are the symbol of success. And you know, if we're not careful, we can buy into that. We can think that being successful as a Christian means that we never have an illness, we never have a problem. You know, God takes care of everything, and we have everything we ever needed. But what we see in Paul's life is something very different from that picture of success. And we find that when Paul gives us this picture of his life, he shows us that everywhere he went, he faced opposition. In fact, if you were to sit down this afternoon and read through 2 Corinthians from beginning to end, you'll find that over and over again, Paul is addressing those who have something against him. You know, he's constantly defending his integrity, defending his ministry to people who are attacking him. And one of the passages that he does that is found in chapter 11, verses 16 to 33. And here in chapter 11, as he begins talking, he decides to play their game, you know, his attacker's game, by showing that, kind of using their way of thinking and showing that he has as much to brag about as they do regarding his own heritage and his dedication to the ministry. And so as he begins to share these things, he's not trying to draw attention to himself, but he's doing it as a way of showing that he has the same credentials that these other people do. And I want to read you just a small section of that passage because it shows us what Paul had to endure. I want to pick up in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, starting at verse 23 through verse 29. You need your Bible, so make sure you open it up. This is not in your notes there. But starting at verse 23, it says, "Are they servants of Christ? I'm out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I have been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false brothers. I have labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst and have often gone without food. I have been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all the churches. Who is weak and I do not feel weak? Who is led into sin and I do not inwardly burn?" The picture that Paul gives us here is not, that's hardly the standard of success that we see in the world today, is it? Life was difficult for Paul. But what he does as he shares this, he reveals to us one of the graces of a Christian that's often lacking today. And that's the grace that we call this morning endurance, of being able to persevere. We see that Paul, as tough as things were, he never quit. He never gave up. He never whined about his hardships. He just endured. Today, as we study our scripture passage from 2 Corinthians, we'll find that it reveals what Paul endured, how he endured, and why he endured. And hopefully it will be a tremendous help to us this morning as we learn to be enduring Christians. Let's look at that together. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 3 to 13. It's on your sermon outlines, but let's look at it together. Paul says, "We put no stumbling block in anyone's path, so that our ministry will not be discredited. Rather, as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, hardships, and distresses, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit, and in sincere love, in truthful speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded as impostors, known yet regarded as unknown, dying and yet we live on, beaten and yet not killed, sorrowful yet always rejoicing, poor yet making many rich, having nothing and yet possessing everything. We have spoken freely to you, Corinthians, and opened wide our hearts to you. We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are holding yours from us. As a fair exchange, I speak as to my children, open wide your hearts also."
So number one, we want to look at what Paul endured. What Paul endured. And so if you'll notice, there's three areas that Paul endured in. In fact, if you'll take a look at verse 4 and 5, you'll see them listed there. There are 9 things, 3 groups of 3. Letter A, we see that he endured in troubles, in hardships, and in distresses. In other words, what Paul's saying, there were circumstances that were beyond my control, and I had to learn to endure them. Each of these words talks about things that happen, that just happen in life. How many of us can control a hurricane? It just happens. And there are many things in life that just happen. Paul said, even in the happenings of life and the circumstances of day-to-day living, with these unforeseen troubles and these hardships that go beyond our control, Paul learned to endure. He learned to endure. And that long litany of success that was read from chapter 11, we see three times in a shipwreck. He talks about dangers from rivers. He talks about he has no control over how people are going to respond to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Some love him for it, others hate him for it. He says, there's some things in life we have absolutely no control over. And sometimes they seem almost crushing. It lists them, troubles, hardships, and distresses. And yet, Paul did not quit. He did not give up. He continued to endure them. And he continued to follow God. We all experience the daily grinds of life, these uncontrollable things. We talk about the weather. It changes. There's nothing we can do about it. But what about some of those other little things that happen to you? Have you ever had a flat tire? How many of you plan for that? I think today I'm going to go to work and have a flat tire about halfway there. Huh? There are things that happen that are beyond our control that we don't plan for. Here's one. How many of you plan to wait in line when you go somewhere? You ever do that? Now, when I go to the post office, sometimes I do. You know, depending on the time of the year. But every now and then, I will look and I will choose the shortest line with the fewest things in it and wait there for an hour. You ever have that happen? You know, they had to do a price check and then the check didn't go through and then the cashier had to come and the coupon had to be canceled and checked and they had to have lunch and then they shut the register down. You know how it is? Sometimes I just get a chair and just sit there. Huh? Life happens around us. The traffic, tragedies, all of these circumstances, Paul says, when they happen, we need to learn the grace of endurance and not quit, not give up, not throw in the towel, but simply endure.
But not only is it troubles, hardships, and distresses that we endure, Paul also says in verse 5 that it's in beatings, imprisonments, and riots. Now, I want you to think about those words, beatings, imprisonments, and riots. All of those come at the hand of people. That's what I want you to write in the blank there. Not only did Paul endure circumstances, but he also had to endure people. Notice what he says in verses 8 and 9. He says, through glory and dishonor, bad report and good report, genuine yet regarded by others as imposters, known yet regarded as unknown. And then he goes on to say, beaten and yet not killed. The whole idea that things happen to us sometimes at the hands of other people. And I think that oftentimes people tend to be a bigger challenge to us than circumstances. Don't you find that? Because we expect people to be kind to us in return to kindness, and it doesn't always work out that way. Anybody who has a family, you know, a relative anywhere, has learned that people can disappoint you very, very greatly. And Paul found that people were often the ones that tripped him up or tried to trip him up and tried to discourage him, and he had to endure. In fact, if you were to read about Paul's second missionary journey, starting around Acts chapter 16, he talks about being in Philippi, and there he exorcised a demon out of this young slave girl who was going around telling, you know, kind of telling the future. And once he did that, it kind of hurt some of the local commerce, and a riot started, and Paul was thrown in prison. In Acts chapter 17, he leaves Philippi and he goes to Thessalonica, and a riot starts up there, and the people all come out against Paul. And so he leaves there and goes down to Berea. And it says, then the Jews from up in Thessalonica followed him down to Berea and caused a riot there. And it seems like every place that Paul went on his journeys, it was people that were constantly coming against him. And not always from without either. Sometimes it was those who were supposed to be closest to him that were causing a problem. And I want you to know this morning that whenever you set out to follow the Lord, there will always be people who will oppose you. Now, I'm sure that comes as no surprise. If you made any decision to follow the Lord and to listen to His leading, you will find that people will oppose you. Sometimes they do it because of jealousy or envy. Sometimes they don't agree with your message. Sometimes there's bitterness. But there's usually some reason why people will always tend to oppose you when you set out to follow God. But Paul endured the trials that were caused by people. And I think because Paul understood the nature of the trial. This is what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You need to write this down. You need to have this where you're thinking about it all the time. Paul says this, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. our struggle, our hardships, are it's not about the people. He says, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul's saying people are not the root of the problem, right? Satan is the root of the problem. But the problem kind of accelerates into people are become willing partners of Satan, don't they? They just fall into whatever he tells them to do and they become partners. But they are not the problem. It is the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Paul understood about people. He knew that they could be exhausting. They can actually, you know, they can just drain the life out of us. And yet Paul endured hardship that was caused by people.
Letter C in your outline is the last of those three. It says, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger. We find that these are personal things that affect us. The word for the blank is discomfort. Sometimes the ministry says that we will sacrifice. There are many times in order to do our jobs or to carry out our responsibility, it means that we sacrifice. You see, we always have to weigh, is it good enough to get by or do I give excellence to the situation? In good enough to get by, they say that you can do 80% of the work in 20% of the time. And to find the finish the last 20% of the work takes you 80% of the time. Now, I've been around construction sites long enough to know that that principle is fairly true. In fact, when we began to see a new home being built and the earth movers come in and they excavate there and they put out the forms and the next thing you know, it's framed up, the roof is on and it's buttoned up and you think, boy, they got that house all set in there and you can actually tell what it is. In 20% of the time, they build 80% of the building. Over the next 80% of the time is when they come in and they drill the holes for the plumbing and the electrical and they put the insulation in and the drywall and they tape and they paint and they hang curtains and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And it seems like it takes forever. You know? We always, in our life, have that balance to say, am I going to do just enough to get by? Or am I going to finish it and give it my very best? In order to give it our very best, it will mean that there will be long, hard hours. It may be that we at times we will miss a break or have to work into the night. It may mean missing a meal. It means that sacrifices are made on our part in order that we may have excellence in all that we do. That takes endurance. That takes endurance. I've hung around construction sites long enough to know that after I've cut the board too short three times. Have you ever done that? The frustration of it all is I'm going to quit and I'm going to let someone else do it. I'm going to hire it done. I'm going to, you know what I mean? It's not worth all the pain and the aggravation. But the Apostle Paul said, even in the personal discomforts of life, I've learned to endure. I've learned to go hungry. I've learned to go without sleep. I've learned to ache and to deal with all the pains of life because I'm willing to put those comforts aside and endure because of the goal. That's what Paul's talking about here. He learned to endure from circumstances, from people, and discomfort. Now, I'm going to wrap this up here. You can sit back down. The most common way that we understand endurance is that Paul simply did not stop and he was going to continue to serve the Lord. He was going to continue to preach the gospel, teach the word of God, continue on his missionary journeys, continue to write churches, continue to hold people's feet to the fire. In other words, when we think of endurance, we always think of endurance as that I'm going to keep keeping on. I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to be doing. Look carefully at that passage of Scripture. It never says that Paul continued to do, does it? This passage says his endurance was not in his doing, although he continued to do what he was doing. His perseverance was what? It was in his character. You see that? In purity, and patience, and kindness, and all those things. In other words, he endured through those things. When circumstances go against you, yes, you need to continue on your responsibilities, but the Christian grace of endurance says, I will be sweet and kind and courteous during that time. You know what I mean? I'm not going to snap at you. I'm not going to be mean. I'm not going to be irritable. Why? Because I've learned the grace of endurance. When I deal with people that are just mean and rotten and downright nasty, I could write a book. In fact, if I wrote a book, you'd feel so sorry for me, you'd just probably never ask me to do another thing again. We've only been in the ministry a short 20-some years. Some of the things. You know, you just want to go hunt that person down and slap them. And then just turn and fly back here to Florida. Yeah? You know what I mean? The grace of endurance says that when I meet people that are like that, the grace of endurance says, I continue on, yes, but I am not rude, I am not mean, I am not impatient, I am not nasty, I am not sarcastic. I learned the grace of endurance. And when you go without sleep, and when you go without food, and when you give up some things and sacrifice for the cause of Christ, it says that the grace of endurance says, I don't tell you that I stayed up all night and that my feet hurt and that, you know, I'm hungry and I got, you know, you don't talk about those things. You know why? I learned the grace of endurance. There's an exciting thing I want to watch on television this afternoon. There's a guy who's been riding his bike all over France. And I know that he's going to stand up today after he wins that thing, after going through cancer, after through the aches and the pains and the out water and the heat and the legs burning and all that. And guess what? He endured all of that and he probably won't even talk about that. Because endurance says, I don't focus on those things. I keep a sweet, humble attitude. That's the grace of endurance. In view of circumstances, in view of people, and in view of discomfort. I'm done now.
So how was Paul able to do it? How Paul endured is number two. Letter A in your outlines, basically Pastor Dan just talked about, he had character. He had character. Look again at verses 6 to 7. He says, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness, in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love, in truthful speech and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness in the right hand and in the left. We see Paul had there was a character about him. It was the overflow of the Holy Spirit in his life. He had a relationship with God that overflowed in everything that he did. And he never let his circumstances dictate his behavior. He never let people dictate how he responded. He always acted out of his character. He was pure and holy and righteous at the very core of his being. And what I want you to understand this morning is that endurance is not about learning coping techniques. You know, we just come together and we learn how to cope, you know. Breathe deeply, count to 20 before you answer anybody. It's not about learning coping techniques. It has to do with who we are in Christ. That's why we call it a grace of a Christian. It is something that has been bestowed to us through our relationship with Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3, it talks about how Christ endured the cross. And it said, consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. It says that if we will look to Jesus and how he endured, not just opposition, but he endured pain and trial and heartache and disappointment, if we could consider how he did it, then somehow we won't grow weary. We won't lose heart. Because somehow when we come to Christ, we become like him. And that because he endured, we are able to endure. You know, one of the thoughts that's gone through my mind over the last several weeks as I've been living off of painkillers is, you know, all that Jesus went through, he didn't take anything for his pain. They offered something to him and he refused it. He endured. And I'm not saying don't ever take a pain pill, but I'm thinking when we consider him, how can we complain about our circumstances. Somehow knowing Him helps us to endure, helps us to be pure and holy in spite of all the circumstances around us, in spite of being let down by people. It goes to character. It goes to that relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you, you can learn all the coping techniques you want, but when push comes to shove, when you're in the most difficult of all circumstances, it's going to come down to a matter of character, a matter of your relationship with Jesus Christ.
How Paul endured, letter B, he had a calling. If you'll take a look at verse 3 of that passage, it says, "We put no stumbling block in anyone's path so that our ministry may not be discredited." Notice he talks about our ministry. The Apostle Paul had a calling. In other words, he had something to do. He had a job. He had a responsibility. There was a task at hand or a goal in front of them. He lived life with a purpose that was given to him by God. We know that his ministry was one of preaching to the Gentiles and sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with those outside of Israel. And so he took 4 missionary journeys. He started churches wherever he went. He was involved in preaching the gospel so that lives were changed. You see, he had a calling on his life. That's letter B. He had a calling. I read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 16. The Apostle Paul says, "Yet when I preach the gospel, I cannot boast, for I am compelled to preach. Woe to me if I do not preach the gospel." The Apostle Paul says, "My calling is that I become a preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ." He says, "Oh, I couldn't do anything else. I have to do this." Having a calling in our life will allow us to endure, to finish the task. But not only did he have a calling to doing a ministry, we notice that Paul had a calling to be one in Christ, or to be like Jesus. He had a calling to allow this character that Pastor Patty was talking about to be developed in his life. Listen to this. From Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. "Not that I have already obtained this, or have already been made perfect, but I press on." That's words of endurance. "I press on to take hold of that for which Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead," verse 14 says, "I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." The Apostle Paul says he's called me to be like him. And Jesus said, if they strike you on one cheek, deck them. No. He said, turn to them the other as well. And Paul says, I'm learning to be like Jesus. He had a calling, not only for what he was doing, but for who he was becoming. And that calling allowed him to endure.
He had character. He had a calling. But the other reason why Paul was able to endure is because he had commitment. He had commitment. Paul was 100% committed to what God had called him to do. And so because he was committed, his obedience to God was automatic. You understand what I mean? I'm sure he had to think about it at times, but it was never a question. It was never an option for him to not obey the Lord because he was 100% committed. It wasn't an option for him. Now, it's amazing what you can endure when you're absolutely committed to something. And I want you to think for a moment about several different areas. Think about marriages. If you're committed, you can endure a whole lot more than if you're not. You know, the problem with most marriages today is people go into it not committed. Oh, we'll give this a try. If it's too hard, we'll just go somewhere else. Isn't that really what it comes down to in a lot of instances? But we can endure a lot. And anybody who's ever been married knows it is really hard work. I was listening to a sermon this morning by Ravi Zacharias on the radio, and he was talking about the hard work involved in being married, that it's not easy. And he was talking about being in college, and one of the professors talking about it being hard work. And he kind of raised his hand and said, you know, I don't like that idea of it being, you know, you saying that it's hard work. You know, that makes it sound awful. And the professor asked him, have you ever been married? He said, no. He said, then sit down, shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. And he said he was married a year later, and he understood the hard work and the endurance that it takes to make it through. Raising our children to live a godly life, that isn't easy. And I don't know that we ever end that responsibility, but trying to raise them, trying to help them to know the Lord, there's a lot that we have to endure. Anybody ever been told by your children, you know, I hate you, you're rotten? I was the meanest mother in the world for a really long time, and I'm sure all of you have been in that position too. But you can endure an awful lot when you're committed to the outcome, committed to the goal. In our jobs, we can endure a lot when we're committed. In ministry, you know, the dropout rate in ministry is so high. And I think so many young men and women, they go into ministry and they have all these grand thoughts of success and people hanging on their every word and just getting this acclaim and seeing all this fruit to their ministry. And you know what? It's hard work. And when, if you're not committed 100%, it's just easier to go and do something else. And I think that's why so many people drop out. But we can, when we're 100% committed, we can endure all kinds of things. Because when we're committed, you're really in it for the long haul, right? You're in it for the long range benefits, for the payoff that comes at the end. And this might be what Paul is thinking about when he says in Galatians 6:9, he said, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. At that proper time, that might be heaven, people. He said, but if we are 100% committed to the long-range benefits, not just the comfort here and now, but to what God is going to do. He said, then we will begin to know that grace of endurance. Paul was committed to staying the course. He was committed to running the race until the end. And there was nothing half-hearted about him. And there really can't be anything half-hearted about us if we want to be able to endure.
So we talked about what he endured and how he endured it. This last thing is why Paul endured. Three quick things I want to share with you. Letter A, he cared about God. Paul endured because he cared about God. You see, whenever we quit, we basically say the end thing wasn't worth it. We don't give it value or place. And so when we quit serving God and we throw in the towel and say, oh, this is too hard, or I'm done with it, I'm tired of it all, we basically turn to God and say, God, you don't matter that much to me. I'm done. I begin to think about this whole idea of why Paul endured. He endured because he cared what his heavenly Father thought. He endured because of how it reflected on his relationship with God. I got thinking about this. Why is it so important that we understand social graces? You know, please, thank you, open the door, those kinds of things. One of the things that we're so concerned about that as parents was, is because our children represent us. They're reflecting what kind of parents we have, what kind of home they come from. I can remember we always grilled Jonathan and Rebecca before we'd left them anywhere to say thank you and to please and to do this and pick this up and you know, the social graces. We wanted to do that because we want people to know that we're good parents. It reflects on the parents. And so Paul says, I am enduring because I value my heavenly parent. And I'm concerned about what people think about God. And so Paul endured because he wanted to bring glory to the Father.
Letter B, he cared about God's ministry. He cared about God's ministry. Notice here in chapter 6, verse 3, he says, so that our ministry will not be discredited. See, Paul is concerned here about integrity. And he didn't want any action on his part to sully the ministry of the gospel. He knew that if he quit or if he compromised in any way, it would hurt not only his own reputation, but it would hurt the ministry itself. You know, I know some of you guys have been around a long time. You've met a lot of people. And you've met people, undoubtedly, who have quit on God. You know, people who made a commitment to him at one time, served him at one time, and maybe through disappointment in him, they just turn away and they walk the other way. What does that say about the power of the gospel when people do that? What does it do to the ministry of Christ? You know, we've all seen in recent years, televangelists, who have these great big ministries and then they wind up being accused of some kind of sexual sin. We've seen it of pastors and churches. What does it do to the ministry of God when we don't endure, when we don't keep righteousness to the end, when we quit on God? Paul was concerned about the ministry. He wanted the message of the gospel to go forth. He wanted the world to know the good news of the gospel, and he was not going to allow himself to detract from it. He endured because he cared about God, but also he cared about God's ministry.
In letter C, he cared about God's people. Paul cares about people. In this passage in your notes in front of you, it begins in verse 3 by saying, I care about people. I don't want to become a stumbling block to them. And it concludes in verses 11, 12, and 13 says, I care about you, so I speak freely with you. We've opened our lives to you. We're open hearts. We are not withholding our affections in verse 12 from you, even though you're doing that to us. And he begs them in verse 13, so open your hearts. Paul cared about people. He wanted to make sure that the lost were reached. And so he cared about them. Let me go back to these social graces. You see, we want our children to be polite because it reflects on us. We also want them to learn to be polite in social graces because it reflects on them, the kind of person they are. Isn't that right? And those are really the first two points. Even in Christian graces, it reflects on our Heavenly Father and it reflects on the ministry and what's going on. But the other thing, we wanted to make sure our children were kind and nice and polite, and we'd say, Becky, don't whine, and Jonathan, don't pick on your sister, because how torturous it is to send my kids to your house and have them act up all day. We cared about the people that we were putting our monsters around. You know what I'm saying? You know how that works? We teach social graces so that our children don't run roughshod over grandma and grandpa. You know, over the neighbors, over at the friends. Paul cared about people, and because he cared, he says, people are important. And I learned the grace of Christ, the grace to endure, because people are important. You see, you would think that when you show someone the gospel of Jesus Christ, they would willingly say, wow, that's the best thing I've ever heard. Sign me up. Let me be part of it. You want to know what happens? People are slow to respond. They drag their feet. They are full of many, many, many excuses. Therefore, we need to learn this grace of endurance, that we continue to love them. We continue to speak to them. We continue to care for them because people are important to God and because people are important to us. And so because of that, we see Paul endures because of the importance of people to him.
Now, we're not really big on endurance much today in our culture. Think about it. I've already mentioned marriage. If it gets a little too difficult, people just will go out and get a divorce. Assisted suicide, which was unheard of when I was a kid, is now growing in popularity because life gets a little bit too difficult and people would rather end it than have to endure it. And, if you just think back to when Dr. Kevorkian first started all his assisted suicides, wasn't it mostly with people who are terminally ill? Do you know that now it's not for people who are terminally ill? People who it is just too much for them to bear. And they want convenience. They want things easy. And once it gets a little bit too hard, they'd rather just end their lives. They'd rather just quit. They'd rather just give up. In the church, we're not a whole lot better. Most of the time, we'd rather pray for God to heal us than to endure what He's given us. And I had to struggle with this over the last month. I didn't feel that God wanted to just heal me instantly. I thought He wanted me to learn to endure. And sometimes we are so quick to ask for the easy way out when what we need is to learn to endure. When I look at our churches across this country, I see people who, if someone looks at them wrong, they quit church and go somewhere else, right? We have people here who've gone from church to church, and there are good reasons for leaving churches, but there are bad ones too. Some people will quit their church because they don't like the music, or they play that piano too loud, or they don't like the color of the carpet, and how come they didn't get to do what they wanted to do? You know, the list goes on and on, and people will quit churches because of that. People will quit on God because they were disappointed by a minister or disappointed by a church, or God didn't quite live up to their expectations. And I've seen Christians just walk away from the Lord and walk away from God's church. We're not real big on endurance. If you take anything from this message today, maybe it's don't be so quick to look for the easy way out or to ask God for the easy way out. It's hard work to make a church work. It's hard work to have relationships with people. It's hard work to be a Christian in today's society. Don't ask for the quick way out. This grace of endurance is important. One thing is certain. In this life, there will be trouble. There will be heartache. People will oppose you. People will hurt you. Sickness or disease will try to distract you. The circumstances of life will sometimes try to crush you. But don't give up. This is what Paul is trying to say in chapter 6, verse 10. He says, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Do you know what that is? When you feel deep sorrow, and yet you're rejoicing at the center of your soul because you know Christ is in control. You know that there's a heaven awaiting. He says, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Poor, yet making many rich. Having nothing, and yet possessing everything. The goal in this life is not to see how much we can accumulate before we die. Sometimes it's enduring the poverty, but yet possessing everything because we know Christ is our Lord and Savior. God never promised that it would be easy, but He did promise to give us the grace to endure. And we'd like to share a song with you that talks about that. It's called God Hath Not Promised, Sky's Always Blue.
God hath not promised skies always blue, flowers turn pathways all our lives through. God hath not promised sun without rain, joy without sorrow, peace without pain. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love. God hath not promised shall not know toil and temptation, trouble and woe. He hath not told us we shall not bear many a burden, many a care. But God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love. God hath not promised smooth roads and wide, swift, easy travel, ever a mountain, rocky and steep, never a river, turbid and deep, but God hath promised strength for the day, rest for the labor, light for the way, grace for the trials, help from above, unfailing kindness, undying love.
Let us pray, shall we? Father, help us to endure. Lord, we don't know what circumstances will come against us today, but Father, we know the God that we serve and to what we are called to. Help us to endure. Father, we don't know what people may do to us, whether unintentionally or intentionally. But Father, help us to endure with the wonderful grace and character of Christ. Lord, that we would be sweet and kind and pleasing, patient. Father, we pray that You would help us to endure today, even with the sacrifices that may need to be made. Maybe we don't get exactly what we want for lunch, or we miss that afternoon nap, or whatever it might be. Father, help us to do it with a grace that endures. And so, Father, help us to be an enduring people. Help us to use this grace as we touch others. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen.